Almost all of us, if not most of us, were baptized as children. Who's been baptized as a child in this room? Well, most of us, right? It's like something that you do. And how many folks here ever had the opportunity to baptize a child? There's a pastor doing it. That would be me. So I would suppose then that I am the one that has all the experience, and the only experience you have, well, no, you don't remember you being baptized either, right?
Well, I do. I was 14.
You know, you always got to have one. There always has to be. You're supposed to be sitting here, so I keep my eye on you, Yoshiko. Right there. And I'll let you know right now that babies get baptized not for religious reasons. They get baptized for tradition. I can't begin to tell you how many people have called me on the phone and said, "Hey, will you baptize my child? Hey, well, you know, I was just thinking about you the other day." "Oh, you were? Who is this?" "Oh, remember I graduated with you from Avalon High School in 1969? I was just thinking about you. 40 years ago, I've been on your mind? Cool. Yeah. Well, my daughter had a daughter, and she couldn't think of anybody she'd rather have baptized her child than you." "Really? Isn't that kind of cool?" Right. People do not baptize children because of their faith. They baptize children because they think it's something that they need to do. How many agree with that sentence? I'm telling you, that's what happens. Who's the expert here? I'm telling you that there are people that bring their children to be baptized and you never see them again. Who's the expert here? I'm telling you, this is what happens. How many would agree with that statement? It's what happens. And that's not a reason to be baptized, because you think you should. The second reason why people bring children to be baptized is they are afraid if their child dies, they want to make sure their child goes to heaven. That's the reason why people do that. How many understand that too? Well, I want to tell you right now, me pouring water on your head does not get you in and does not get you out. Amen. Did you know that? It does not get you in, it does not get you out. Third, do you think a holy God would take an unbaptized child of 2 or 3 weeks old and that child died, that child would go to hell? Is that what you think? How many think that's ridiculous? So then why does the child be baptized? Because it's a tradition of the church. It's something we have always done. That's not scriptural. Scriptural is, "Believe ye therefore and be baptized." It's a whole different thing when an adult stands up and says, "You know what, I know why I'm going to be baptized, and I want the world to know that I know why I'm going to be baptized." And so when adults come and they say to me, "I want to be baptized," what that means is it is a public sign of an inner grace that I want the world to know. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care if you think I'm ridiculous for doing this or not. I want you to know that I have Jesus who lives inside of me. How many understand that? That's what it's about. A public profession of an inner truth is what it's all about. Now, I want to make absolutely sure, especially Karen and Chuck, Scott, I mean, I think Ruby probably already knows this, that, you know, me baptizing you tonight does not get you into heaven. You guys know that, right? Jesus gets you into heaven. I don't. I don't. There's going to be a lot of baptized people in hell. How many know that's true too? And there might just as well be some unbaptized people in heaven. And so, we baptize tonight for people who profess to know Jesus Christ. That's why we do that. And tonight, when they are baptized with the other folks I'll be baptizing, you'll be asked in front of a lot of people, "Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" You'll be asked. Of course, the answer should be what? Yes. If the answer is no, well, we got a problem. We got a problem. How many understand that? And so, we baptize not as a means of salvation. We baptize because you have already received what? Salvation. It's not the other way around. You do not come and be baptized and then you got salvation. No. You got salvation and then what? you get baptized. Believe ye therefore and be baptized. And a matter of fact, in many of our litanies in our churches, especially the main denominational churches, part of a litany says, remember your baptism and be thankful. Other than Yoshiko, how many of you remember your baptisms? Your infant baptisms?
Oh, no.
We're talking infants. Infants. How many remember your infant baptisms? See, there's another one. There's got to be another one. Another one, see? All right. I did say the word infant. Infant. But I would understand Colin might have still been an infant at 13. Because you're a little boy now still. And exactly. I'll word this again. How many of you remember your infant baptisms? Nobody. How can you remember that? How can you remember? They can't remember that. Right? But like Colin had said, thank you, Colin. And Yoshiko said, well, they remember theirs at 13 and 14. Well, that makes an awful lot of sense. But I'll let you know, you will remember it as an adult, that's for sure. How many remember your adult baptisms?
Yes.
Man, that's... How many know that was a special day? That was a special day, right? And so tonight, we have the opportunity to baptize. I'm planning on baptizing around 20 people. I'm letting you know now, I'm bringing some sweatpants and some sweatshirts and some extra clothes. You know why I'm bringing some extra clothes?
You're going in the water with us.
No, I am going in the water, but I'm bringing some extra clothes. Anybody know why I'm bringing some extra clothes? Why, why?
There's going to be people. There's
going to be a lot more people that I wasn't thinking of.
And didn't bring a change of clothes.
I'm going to bring that open to everybody that's there. Because I only know I'm planning on Glen 20. But I know. I'm bringing about 20 more sets of clothes. And I'm going to open it up. How many understand that? How many let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit, right? And so, we've been talking about the power of God. We've been talking about I can do what kind of things? Except things I won't. Right? I can do all things except what, Jimmy? Things I won't. You know, with the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have the power to do what? All things, but it will not make you do what? One thing. The Holy Spirit will not make you do what, Jimmy? Anything. How many know God's polite? Isn't God polite? The Holy Spirit won't make it. Now, the Holy Spirit will do everything it can to convince you. The Holy Spirit will do everything it can to convict you, but who has to do it? You. You. And so you could do all things except things that you what? Won't do. Is that a fair statement? Turn in your Bibles, please. And I'm going to have us start reading today. We're going to be reading in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man.
We talked a little about this last week, and I want to make sure that we grasp a hold of this as well. I know people who go to like Gold's Gym and they pump up all kind of iron. I know some guys like that. When we go to Men's Challenge on Friday night, where's my Men's Challenge guys? Butch and Mark. You guys see some guys who look like they've been pumping some iron, right? There's some guys down there who've been pumped up. But I know little old ladies that are stronger than them. I really do. I know there's guys down there, and you guys know who I'm talking about without naming names. Men and women are like, you know, much like mine, of course. They're much like mine. Did somebody find that funny?
Oh, my gosh.
Ha, ha, ha. And I know little old ladies that are stronger than some of these guys because the strength does not come from the outside in. Real strength comes from the inside out. And the Holy Spirit does not strengthen you from the outside in. The Holy Spirit strengthens you what? From the inside out. My very good friend, Sue, she's a physical therapist. And as a physical therapist, one of her goals, and you correct me and I know you will anyhow, is to help people gain strength. True? And Sue's job, I get to see her weekly. I see it. I walk into this room where she is, and I am amazed at what I see. There was a fellow, and I will not tell you his last name, we'll just call his name Len. And this individual that I'm thinking about, I don't know what was wrong with him physically. I don't know the word for it, but some kind of infirmity that he just couldn't walk. He couldn't, right? But he was in that physical therapy room lifting the weights as much as he could. And you know what he was doing? Motivating everybody else to do the same thing. He was strong where? Inside. Inside. And the Holy Spirit strengthens every one of us in the inner man, in the inner woman. Not from the outside in, but from the inside out. How many know that you can do a lot more things when you believe that you can?
Right.
Isn't that a fair statement? I mean, if you tell yourself long enough, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, guess what you will not do? Anything. Because why? You can't. How many know if you tell yourself enough times you can't do something, you will be the person who can't do anything? Who knows self-fulfilling prophecy? If you tell yourself enough times, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, you won't be disappointed. No, you will never be disappointed. It's not, you won't, because you will never what? Try. Because you can't. Now, if you change that mentality around, you say to yourself, wait a second, I have the gift of the Holy Spirit in me that strengthens the inner me, means I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I told you before that I would never ask a question I didn't know the answer to. That's one of the tricks of ministry. Don't ask a question. And you know what? If I ask this question right now, I know the answer I'm going to get, but it would be a lie. Okay, who believes they can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me? So, now I'm getting this now. Does he want you to love everybody? Who here loves everybody? Wow, now ain't that something? I got one. Michael went... Boy, you are really bold, Mike. I'll talk to you later. I'm going to talk to you later, Michael. How many know it's hard loving everybody, isn't it?
Yes.
It's almost impossible. Oh, can we do the impossible?
Yes.
Yes, we can. Does God want you to have an abundant life?
Yes.
Who here has an abundant life? We got more hands going up. But that's kind of crazy, because the same people that said they can't love everybody raised their hands and said, I can have an abundant life. Well, wait a second now. How can you have an abundant life if you're not loving everybody? There must be some moments in that abundant life that you're mad at somebody. What?
I said I'm going to die.
You're being nice. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
For his good pleasure. And that's what Yoshika was talking about. For his good pleasure. Well, what is his good pleasure? What is his purpose for us in our lives? What is his purpose? I mean, if you could sum them up in like two commands, what would they be? Love God and love others. That's two simple things. That's pretty simple things, right? We're not getting into, a bunch of theological concepts that's hard to understand, is it? Mike? Love God and love who?
Our neighbor.
Who's our neighbor? Who's doing a good job at that? Is it because we're ignorant of knowing that we're supposed to do it? No. How many know sometimes work takes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Or how about 8 hours a day on certain days? And so we are to love one another as Jesus loves us. Who else are we to love then? Ourselves. You are God's handiwork. Did you know that? Did you know that according to Scripture, that all of us are wonderfully and beautifully made? Knit together in our mother's wombs? Did you know that you are special? How many have a hard time feeling special?
Sometimes.
How many have a hard time loving yourselves? Right? Does God want you to love yourself?
Yes.
Sure. And so how are we doing? How is it possible that we can do that without a helper? I mean, how can we do this? I guess we could turn on the TV at 3 o'clock and watch Dr. Phil. He's got some good stuff on there. Dr. Phil's got some good stuff on there, I suppose. And then we could watch Oprah. She's got problems now, though. Who feels bad for a billionaire Oprah? She's got some problems. Anybody feel? Oprah's got some problems with her TV network. They might be turning it off. So she's going to be destitute. And so how can we do this thing called life without a helper? Here's the problem. Some of us really don't believe we have the helper. And that's where the problem lies. See, the problem really lies is we really don't grasp a hold of we got that helper inside of us. And you want to know why we can't grasp a hold that we have that helper? It's because we just won't do things we're supposed to do. We won't take chances. We won't take the chance of getting out of the lunch table we're sitting at with all the popular people and get up and walking on over there to the person everybody's talking about because we're afraid they'll start what? Talking about you too. And I don't want to take that risk. Oh, I want to take that risk to be kind to somebody everybody else is not kind to. But that's our job, isn't it? One of the customs of the Native Americans, it's a pretty cool custom, is that, you know, we have like confirmation for our kids, like they get to be 12. Well, in Native American custom, in order for a young boy to become a man, for the young brave to be a man, they have a custom. And the custom is that the father takes the young boy out when he's around 11 or 12 or so, and they put him in the middle of the forest by himself, blindfolded. He must sit there all night long by himself in the middle of the woods, and he has to stay there. And so it came time for this child to become a man in the American Native Indian custom, and his dad took him out into the middle of the woods, darkest woods, of course, that he could find, and sat him on a stump and put a blindfold on him and said, "Now you sit here until morning time. Don't move." And all night long, that kid is sitting on that stump hearing all the sounds that he hears with all the animals and all of the noises that you could hear in the middle of the woods blindfolded. And he waited. And he waited and he was shaking and he was scared and he was trembling, but he dared not move because he wanted to be a man. And morning came and he finally saw and felt the sunlight on his head and he took the blindfold off and looked, and there sitting right next to him was his dad. Wow. His dad never moved. But see, God's like that too. God's just like that. You see, we go through the world and we're blindfolded because we just don't see too good. All we see is all the stuff that bothers us so. Or we see the stuff that we can't even fathom possible to do. And the world is a scary place. And taking a chance is scary for some of us. To let go of all the things you always have done and do something God wants you to do, that's a scary thing for you. And I can't do this. But if you'd open up your eyes and take off your blindfold, guess who you might just see sitting right next to you? It's Jesus the Christ himself and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it's just the truth. It's just the truth. And that power that we have from God is inside of every believer. But we just haven't learned. You know, Pastor Ed taught me all the time that when he was a younger man, he had a switch. And that switch you lovingly called what? The idiot light. How many have an idiot light too? How many know how to turn that thing on? Push, raise your hand. You got one. And you feel it. You can just feel the power surging in you. And you go, "Oh, where is that switch? This person needs to get it." Right? I mean, I got an email from somebody who was talking to me about some issues. And this person finally signed off on this email to me. This person that I worked with, person said, "You know, he's a real jerk." And I just emailed a very short phrase back. I said, "Well, God loves jerks too, doesn't he?" God loves jerks too. And you know the person you can't stand? God loves them too. And you know, some of us have been really, you know, we've been wrong. How many have been wronged in your life? I mean, really been wronged. You're going, oh, God, I hope this guy, vengeance is mine, Lord. Come on, Lord. But I know someone that was nailed to a tree after he's been whipped and punched and kicked, beard pulled out. You're going to be talking about this in a little while, right? And he was so angry, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that same power in him and you?
Yes.
Is it? I mean, it's the same power that's in him and you?
Yes.
What's the only difference?
He used it
and you choose not to. And what you have to learn to do is to turn on the Holy Ghost switch. When you cannot do it, say to yourself, you're right, I can't do it, but he can. I know a little boy that faced a whole Philistine army. When all of the grown men was quaking in their boots, somebody forgot to tell the boy that he could not kill a giant. Now, had he spent some time with the grown men, he probably would have learned that. You can't go out there, David. Here's all the reasons why you can't. Oh, thank God you saved me, because I thought I could, silly me. And how many of us in this room could take the time to talk to somebody that thinks they can and spend about an hour with them so they finally figure out, I thought I could. Thank God for making me wise. I thought I could do it. How many of us could talk somebody out of doing the thing they think they can do by spending an hour with us? Right? I wonder how many of us could talk somebody out of doing something that they think they can because you think you can't. And that's just telling the way that it is. Turning to Bibles. Isaiah chapter 40, 28 to 31. And many of you can quote this, I'm reasonably sure. If you can't quote it, you surely have heard it. I'm definitely sure.
Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
How many heard that before? Is there truth in that?
Yes.
Oh, there's truth in that, isn't there? But some of the truth that we find is for those who what?
Wait
upon the Lord. For those who wait upon the Lord. When do we want things done? Well, probably even yesterday, right?
5 minutes ago.
Exactly. We want it now. I want to see results when? Now. I want to pray and the results are there. How many of you know it takes a lifetime for some of you to get it? Doesn't it? How many of you know that you are still a process? How many know that God is going to complete the work he started? And for some of us, it might take many years for that thing to be completed. Is that not true? How many are still evolving today? How many remember when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How many was that more than an hour ago in your life? And how many know that for some of us, it's been years? And how many know you're getting stronger every day? And how many know some of this takes some effort on your part? How many know that this takes a process? How many are stronger today than when you first accepted Jesus Christ? True? It's those who what?
Wait
upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like what?
Eagles.
You know, it's an interesting thing about eagles. And the interesting thing about eagles is, and I know Robin could probably, you know, give the story better than I could, but when baby eaglets are first hatched, they don't know how to fly, do they, Robin? They don't. And the baby eaglet doesn't know it's an eagle. A baby eaglet only knows that it's a baby. What are babies good at doing? Being babies, right? I mean, a baby is very good at being a baby, right? And a baby wants what? Done for it. Everything. Everything needs to be done for me. I need to be fed. I need to be dressed. I need to be changed. A baby needs what? everything. And what does a baby do when a baby doesn't get it? I'm glad we became adults. We don't whine anymore. Jimmy, what'd you say? And see, what happens is a baby eaglet doesn't know it's an eagle. It only knows it's a what? A baby. And the only thing the baby eaglet knows is that it's hungry. The only thing the baby eaglet knows is that if it's hungry, the mommy's going to come down and feed it. The baby eaglet knows that. But see, the mother eagle knows something that the baby eaglet doesn't know. What does the mother eagle know that the baby doesn't know? It's an eagle. You see, the baby eaglet doesn't know it's an eagle. The baby eaglet knows it's hungry. And the mother eagle says, I'll feed you. But the day is going to come that you're going to have to learn something. That you are no longer a baby, you're a what? You're an eagle. You're an eagle. And so on that appointed day, when it's time for the mother to tell the baby eaglet, you're not a baby, you're an eagle. Grow up. How many ever been told you how to grow up? And the mama eagle comes down, and she does something very curious. She starts to take all that soft, cushy, Craftmatic, adjustable, air inflated to your own pressure, heated blanket, and starts to unplug that stuff. It starts to let the air out of the mattress, drains the water out of the heated waterbed, and it starts to become a little uncomfortable, and starts to take all this stuff out of the nest. And the comfort cushy life is no longer comfortable and cushy anymore. And the baby eaglet saying, oh, what is she doing? That hurts. Every time I move, I'm getting poked with some stick. And I don't like it. I don't like it. And now this baby eaglet sitting in this thorns and sticks poking its little eagle body. And down comes the mother and says, hey, you want to go for a comfortable ride? How many know that's the first question you got to ask yourselves, right? It's like never play poker with a guy named Lucky, you know? And the baby eaglet climbs up on the mama's back. Go, oh, this is better. It's comfy. It's warm. It's loving. I love this. And the mother eagle says, hang on, you want to see something? Oh, yes, mama. And that mother eagle takes off into the heavens, right, Robin? High! How high can an eagle fly, Robin? Way up there, right? And that baby eaglet is just soaring on that mama's back. Oh, life is good, mama. And then that mother does something. Now imagine your baby eagle brain. What you are now thinking. I thought you loved me best, mother. Why are you dropping me? And as the ground gets closer, you are surely thinking what? I am going to die. My mother, who loved me so much, who took care of me all these years, what did I ever do to deserve this? Where are you, God? I mean, mother, why would you do this to me? And just before that baby eagle smashes on the rocks, guess what happens? That mother, who's been watching it all along, because she's in the business of not creating babies, she's in the business of creating what?
Eagles.
And that bad mother comes soaring down and catches that baby. Oh, mother, it must have been a mistake. I knew it was a mistake. You wouldn't do that to me. And guess how many times she does until what, Robin? That baby goes what? Oh, God, help. Wait a second. Wait a second. I'm a what? I'm an eagle. never knew that I was an eagle. I didn't know it. No one ever told me I was an eagle until I what? Until I was dropped. Did you know that in this room, God created eagles? Oh, he didn't create babies. No, he created eagles. He did not create whining babies stuck in the nest. He created what? Eagles. And the only way to get us to remember that we are eagles is to get us out of our comfy, cushy nests. That's the only way it's going to work. He has to make it for you uncomfortable at times. How many's ever had an uncomfortable experience? How many's ever had your nest disarrayed? Because you know what? If it didn't happen, you know where you would be for the rest of your life in your cushy lifestyle. And you would never what? You wouldn't fly. Now, how does God do this? Well, sometimes you get fired. Sometimes things happen. And you say, what is going on here? How many's ever said, God, why are you doing this to me? Who's ever said that one time? Why don't you like me? What did I ever do against you? Who's ever had that experience? I want to ask you a very bold question. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to my question, then I want you to respond in kind. All of you who are now eagles, stand up. If you're an eagle, stand up. All right. Now, all of you eagles that are standing up, if you thought you were going to die before you flapped your wings, sit back down. So when it happened to you, you were saying what? Where are you, God? Why are you letting this happen to me? Don't you love me? No, the mother eagle loved the eaglet so much that she's willing to do what? And God loves you too. Enough to let you fail. And God loves you enough to make your life uncomfortable so that you learn to what? God did not create you to crawl. God did not create you to sit on your laurels in your comfortable back seat. God created you to what, Sue? Fly. So what's your job, Sue? Fly. That's your job. That's your job. And you can do it through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The only question that has to be is not whether or not God will drop you, because he will. It's not a question of whether or not your nest will become uncomfortable, because it will. The only question is, how long is it going to take you to what? Until you open them babies up. Guess what's going to happen to you, Glenn? You're going to keep on getting dropped. Until finally you say what, Bobby? Time to fly. And guess what happens when you start flying? You don't get dropped anymore. You're just soaring on life through the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. Well, for some of us, we just have to learn to do what? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the indwelling of your word this day, Lord. Help us to clearly understand. It's not a question of whether or not we're going to be dropped. Oh, we will be dropped. And we will be dropped over and over and over and over and over until we finally realize that we are created to soar. We are created to fly above our circumstances. We are created to be bigger than our problems through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Well, Lord, I would suppose that some of us are pretty slow learners. And I guess we just have to sooner or later figure it out that because you love us so much, you want us to understand for the very reason for which we have been created, to soar. So, Lord, we call upon your Holy Spirit power in us now. We're going to flip the switch. We're going to turn on the power. And we're going to open up our wings, and we are going to soar. And all of God's people said,